We are going to tell you a bit about the backstory, about our current implementation, and about future planned improvements for the binary packages. Okay, so what happens if you emerge a package from source? I have to explain maybe a little bit. Our package manager is called portage. The main command is emerge, and obviously people are emerging packages when they install them. And you all know Gentoo originally as a source-based distribution. That means what happens when you emerge a package is you fetch, unpack, and patch the sources, you configure, compile, you install to a temporary directory, then there are some quality assurance checks, the binaries are stripped, the bug information, for example, is separated out, and as a last step, the files are merged into your main system. And that's not so much different from other package builders. Of course, we are skipping over a lot of details here. The dependencies are provided by the main system, by the user system, so to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did have binary package support in Gentoo already for a long time. These were the so-called XPack packages. Basically a combination of a compressed tar archive and a custom trailer for metadata. Nice thing was it was a single file and tar can unpack it, but there were also a lot of disadvantages. It's a custom binary format. It relies on undocumented tar behavior. If you want to access the metadata, you have to use special tools. And there was no specification versioning, not easily extensible, no clear support for any package signatures. So this had to be improved. The other thing you should maybe know about Gentoo is it's a source-based distribution. Packages usually have been compiled on the user system, and that means there are no global rebuilds ever. So there is no such thing as a mass rebuild. And we need to make sure that, nevertheless, the packages that are installed on the user system are all consistent. Examples for how problems creep in are there's a library upgrade which increases the library so version. There's a Perl update which means the package path for Perl modules changes. And all this has to be addressed somehow. Then another problem is dependency automagic. I mean, you all know what happens if you run a configure phase. I mean, this is like a picture from ImageMagick. You can see that the configure is checking for all sorts of libraries and detects whether they are present or not present and which versions. If you don't have this under control, then your build result can depend on what packages and what versions exactly are installed on the builder. And that's dangerous because if you then make a binary package and install it on a host where maybe different things are installed, it doesn't match together anymore. Example, on the builder we have a certain library but not on the target. Or we have, for example, different ICU versions on the builder and the target with different subversions. So build systems can create so-called automagic dependencies on libraries and other dependencies that they find on build time. Autoconf is actually a pretty good example because there you can override this automatic detection nearly everywhere and specify it directly. Yeah, to address all these problems, there were a few old-style Gentoo helpers. They are now by now all deprecated. So the most famous one maybe is RevDeb Rebuild. It just finds binaries that have broken dynamic linking, identifies the affected packages, and then rebuilds them. And a similar one is Perl Cleaner. It finds Perl modules that are installed in the library paths of previous, not installed anymore, Perl versions and identifies the packages and then rebuilds them. The problem with these both is they are essentially trying to fix what is already broken. Because if you have a Perl package with modules in a directory where Perl is not searching anymore, well, then it doesn't work anymore. And it's surprising how much can break if, for example, some part of gettext suddenly fails. The second column is kind of the next approach, the preserved libraries mechanism. There, it was integrated into the package manager. So basically, on uninstallation of libraries, it checks whether still there's any dynamic linking to it. And if there are still programs that link to a dynamic library, the library is not removed, but it's reassigned to its reverse dependency in the system. And at the same time, this package is recorded somewhere, and with the special syntax, you can then rebuild these packages and this way remove dependencies on obsolete libraries. That was already an improvement because it doesn't usually leave you with a broken system. But still, it's kind of a manual act and had to be replaced eventually. And this here is what was introduced to fix both of these problems, so-called subslot rebuild mechanism. Let's not go into detail what a slot or a subslot precisely is. It's a property of a package, and we declare a dependency in a special way. You can see this here. This is Strawberry, the music player. You see a dependency on ICU, and it's using this particular operator here. What that means is any subslot value of ICU fulfills the dependency, but if it changes, Strawberry has